Anyway, the U.S. Park Service agreed.
Mm-hmm. That was a good place for it.
Nowadays, ski stuff. Have you ever seen the stone structure right close to the lodge that's almost on the road? Well, it is on the road. That goes up the sort of a tower sort of thing?
Yes.
The man who built that was a... Was he one of your foremen?
He was a landscape architect that had been sent in.
To do, and he built that. That was a water tower?
Yeah.
And he was fine.
Do you remember his name?
Fry.
Homer Fry.
Homer Fry.
Okay.
He was fine.
He was fine.
He was fine. They came and looked at that thing and wanted to know if that were out of Robin Hood. It didn't look like danger. And they fired him because he built something so completely out of...
You had heard of him?
I've seen his name on plans for several state parks in Arkansas. I keep coming across his name, and I asked Mr. Young about him to see if he knew Mr. Fry, and he thought the name was familiar, but he couldn't really place the name.
Well, Mr. Fry lost his job.
Right here.
Wow. Yeah.
But the other net thing was out.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That would be about... well, I was still here. So it would have to have been about, let's see.
You started
33, 35. And it had to be about 34.
Okay.
Something like that.
Wow, I had no idea that had happened.
Now, I'm not saying it gleefully that he lost his job. Uh-huh. But they thought it was so out of place
for
the party that they just sent him on his way.
Hmm.
he had a lot of
weird ideas.
Weird thoughts, shall we say. I've been this, that is.
Now back to you. You asked me questions.
Oh, okay. Most of the cabins at now you may if you don't know the answer to this, that's fine. Most of the cabins at Petagene are predominantly made of logs. They have some stonework, but they're predominantly log, at least when they were first built. And now at Devil's Den, you've got a total opposite. And I just wondered if you knew kind of what the reasoning behind that was.
Well, the original, I think, seven cabins, there was one that was log,
mm-hmm.
and the other six were all rock.
All stone?
Yeah, I mean,
they were
stone side.
Uh-huh.
I think there's about six of them. I'm not sure exactly, not many.
Okay,
well,
so
we didn't have many, but I remember we only had seven or eight originally.
Mm-hmm.
And only one was a log.
One was a log.
Oh, okay.
And so all these new ones,
mm-hmm.
and various kind of construction, but not any that heavy. That's where what I liked about the construction, it started with great big rocks and things went up with them,
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the part of the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to bring up this question.
That's fine.
While the park was, I guess that was after Lance's father left to become Arkansas's first state park
ranger. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Okay. They would come up, Mr. and Ms. Davis would come up in the summertime and spend some time in one of the cabins.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Governor's Cabin, isn't that right, Lane? Isn't that the cabin you stayed in when they called the Governor's Cabin?
Which, do you know which one that is now?
Yes.
I don't know what number it is now. It was number two.
It was number two.
But I think it isn't it. Isn't it next door to the one that is a log cabin?
Yeah.
But farther away from the lodge.
Okay, as you're going down
the Because you drive in it.
Right.
And you make all the circle all the way back.
Okay.
I think it is the one that was the governor's cabin was the one next to the inn.
Okay.
But anyway, I think this is a little history that you all know too. There were.
Huh?
I thought the Lord was the governor's cabin.
Maybe it was, honey. I thought the Lord was the one next to it. Never mind about my tape.
Okay.
There were remnants of the Civil War still going on in the 30s. Following the Civil War, no black person was allowed to spend the night in Conway County, South Martinsville. The first news that I ever knew that spent the night was Miss Davies' cry. And the Hudsons came in with something to find love and spent several weeks there. And they brought back her. Now, she had a tent out of the yard that she stayed in. But when Mr. and Miss Davies came, their cook had a cot that was for his kitchen.
Okay.
And these were the first nights who ever spent the night south of the river. I will get to it. All right, you're going to have to. Where was I? I can't even remember.
Those were the first blacks to be at south of the.
A number of years later, I was a professional gun scout. This was for this district, 13 counties in St. Bartholomew. We had a very difficult time to find places for our Midland Girl Scout troops. And I don't know whether we still have any Girl Scout troops, but we did back then. To have a place that they could go and troop camp. So I called Mr. Rockwell. No, I wrote Mr. Rockwell one letter, and I said, Mr. Rockwell, I told him the circumstances that we were. And I said, I know that you know that we own land up there, but I'm a little hesitant about sending black troops up there, but I know if you would have them on your place, it would be safe. So his secretary, who was a friend of mine, called me back and she said, James, Miss Barker, just don't do that sort of thing. You just don't have people care about this place. And he said, she sees it. She says, he's out of town, but he just won't. Well, one day he called me and he said, Miss Davies, I have been most appropriate. So this black troop from Lookline came up to camp up here. He put a watchman on 24 hours a day. Somebody stayed there all night. So he knew that they'd be safe. You know, I mean, there's still, you know, this feeling. Now, I think it's gone completely now because we have black people. Park, you know, and camp and everything else. But, of course, they had a hard time camping because he was doing so many things for them. He just wasn't enough of it. He just wanted to do everything for them. But I thought it was interesting. Now, that was in the early 1960s. Or the late 50s, that there was still this uneasiness about blacks.
Right here, front is spooky.
Where? It's a bird.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's a bird.
It's a bird.
Okay, ask us something else.
Ask you something else.
Or have we talked to you that?
Well, no. All the questions that I had here, you've basically answered everything. I guess, you know, my last question would be, are there any more reminiscences you have about, you know, what you did at the park or things like that you want to tell me?
Well, I might, one of my favorite stories, I guess, was we decided that we ought to have a little menagerie, if you want to, for one reason. There were a lot of rattlesnakes in the area. And a lot of people might not know what one looked like or what they sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
Reason. So my dad was just, was all he had to do, he was the boss, so everybody loved it, you know. They said, I wonder if they could catch some guys. Put them in their hands, I think they said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was just like home to me. So, and we were surveying one time. This, this same fellow that told the Atticus Black was a rear rod. When he had a place, he had to stay back there.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved the instrument up and sighted on him back there, and then he could come up. And so he was looking around. Hey, he says, there's the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen, right over here, up in this bluff. We all, of course, gathered and came back down and looked at it. Yep, they agreed that's something big. It must be 6 or 7 feet long and no telling how many rounds. Well, we, make a long story short, we cut a big hole. About 20 feet long, something like that. But nobody wanted to get any closer.
Yeah.
But, and then we cut some forked sticks. Mm-hmm. And we got that snake maneuvered around and got the forked stick on his neck and on his head so we could get him tied up to this pole.
Mm-hmm.
And we used our bootstrap for that.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
We, of course it was loose, it was loose for loose, but anyway here we got, well the snake started getting smaller. And he was only about 3 feet long by the time we got him all tied up and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we came into camp with a live snake on this pole in the back of the pickup. We were the heroes. This was on Friday, which was the end of the week, weren't we? So we got the snake and the Carpenter, Mr. Gus's Carpenter, real quick, got a box made with a trap door in the top that we could cut that snake loose and just drop him in there without anybody getting hurt. And we were heroes. Those boys brought a live snake in. And on Sunday, CCC boys, men, roamed around the bar. And one of them came in with a rattlesnake that was 6 feet long. Had him around the neck with one hand and wrapped up under his arm.
So
I lasted one day, you know. Saturday and Sunday it was good.
Oh, there's another thing. What about when they somebody got drunk and opened all the trap?
Oh, yeah, that was the people were trapping and going on, and one way or another, we began to, for our menagerie, we began to accumulate bobcats.
Oh, really? Wow.
And we had six or seven.
Uh-huh.
And they're still here. There's plenty of bobcats here. But
we caught one on our terrace out here last year.
You're kidding.
But that's another
tape. Yeah, anyway, they all bowled.
They made cages.
Well, it was some kind of a holiday. Maybe the 4th
of July or something.
No, it was...
But then
whatever it was, anyway, they were celebrating, and this guy, I thought he ought to turn these things loose.
Mm-hmm.
So he turned it, opened the door, maybe it was the war was over or something.
Well, we weren't fighting a war anyway.
Well, whatever it was some
yes, maybe significant. Yes, maybe
it's the 4th of July. All right, whatever. But the Bobcats returned to work. And the funny thing was that they all came back at mealtime.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was too easy.
I have plenty of friends, but I hope it's excellent. And I was using the great big quart things because I was doing 6 to 8 quarts a day. And something started coming and cutting the wire from these hummingbird feeders.
It was plastic. It wasn't a wire. It was a plastic.
Plastic. Something.
Very nice.
And the things would fall down on the rocks and break. Well, the things cost about somewhere between $13 to $14, you know. And after this happened 2 or 3 nights, we decided we'd set a trap. First thing we caught was a possum. And the second thing we caught was a raccoon.
Yeah.
But it kept happening. And finally we caught it. Now, the bobcat, I never saw a trap as full of anything in my life as that bobcat.
What's that saying?
Yeah. I said I couldn't imagine what it might be doing. It was a bobcat.
Wow.
That was coming every night because I was trying to get that shoe off.
Yeah, so what'd you do? What'd you do after you caught it? I
hated it too, but, you
know. Right, because it's going to keep coming out. Wow. Your back door. Goodness.
This doesn't have to do with the CCC camp directly, but it has to do with the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's settling and so forth. So this land was homesteaded by a man who came following a number of years, actually, following the Civil War from Long Island, New York. And he was a horticulturist by trade. And homesteaded this land that we're on here, planted trees, various kinds of fruit trees, and many of the old pine trees are still here and buried.
Wow.
And then, as did many of the people up here, lost the land for taxes. Just couldn't pay the taxes. And so at some point, Mr. Bowles and Ryan acquired 80 acres. And then, as they could afford it, added right. two, you know, from time to time. But this just happened all over We had had many of the people from that family, all of whom eventually went to California. And who had done very, very well. Have come back to see the old cabin down here where we were this morning,
oh,
you know.
Okay.
And because that was the old, that was built in 1884.
Oh.
And then they were raised there, or their parents were raised there. So. And they're just awful nice people. In fact, they were living at the time that the CCC camp was built. Over right next to the park, weren't they, lad? Didn't you say you all camped in their front yard for a while?
Yeah. Well, it was in the park. It was frightening to them. The house they were living in was in land that had gone back
to the taxes.
Oh. Had been taken from the park.
But it was about that time.
And they knew it. And when we showed up, Dad quickly saw something. Don't worry, we're not going to do anything. You can stay here as long as you want to. We're not going to do any development right here at the moment. That seemed to soothe them.
But it was from that, it was during that time that they all moved to California, the Okies and the Arkies. I think it's interesting about the poverty, you know. But the fact that there was something in that community, and they did very well in California.
One of the women, charming, was very good, but very active in politics. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Then right down here, where you turn the corner, mm-hmm. there used to be, up until they burned the house down about 2 or 3 years ago, was probably the oldest house in the mountain, except for our cabin. I think our cabin is the oldest house mm-hmm. left being used.
Right.
These people were named Westphal. Mm-hmm. And Mr. and Ms. Westphal had a fairly good education. Just barely made a living up here until Rockefeller came. And then both of them went to work for him. Mm-hmm. And they had one son, Jim Westphal, who was exceptionally smart. And they sent him to school in Little Rock, to mm-hmm. go to what's now Central High School, what was Little Rock High School.
Oh, okay.
And then he went on and got a degree in petroleum engineering at Tulsa University. Now, he's considered one of the greatest astronomers in the world. Teaches at Caltech, 1 3-hour course a year, the rest of the time he works. Mm-hmm. He is supervising the building of this tremendous new telescope in Hawaii. It's mm-hmm. going to be the largest one. He has time on the Palomar telescope in California, on the telescope down in Chile, goes all over the world talking, lecturing. Mm-hmm. He does projects for NASA mm-hmm. and so forth. And I've been always so impressed. It's coming out of a background here, mm-hmm. limited. About 2 years ago, I got a package from mm-hmm. It was a paper stuff pamphlet, and on top of it was a little note that said, I thought you'd be interested in this. We're leaving for the Fiji Islands to go snark. He had been elected one of the Catherine and MacArthur Genius Scholarship. Just to do anything he wanted to do. He would never make any reports to anybody or anything. That was absolutely intended. He was to do anything he wanted to do. He has one son. Mm-hmm. And he isn't smart, I guess. He's just gotten his doctorate from Berkeley in, he says physics, but it's really astrophysics. Mm-hmm. Did all of his experimentation down in mm-hmm. I'm just so impressed with people who come out of such a humble. He went up here one day and did one more school till he, I guess, through the 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So in the 9th grade, they send him to Hawaii. And the monitor says, you're not in our school. You're not in our school district. You go to your school. I send him home. Well, he was sparring down doing 4,000 degrees down the middle of the hill. And he came back to school. They took him.
I guess so.
But it was after that, the 9th grade. Sent to mm-hmm. school. They were Lutherans and they were the Lutheran family. Well, after we moved up here, my particular interest has been libraries, and I became very involved in a long time. Mm-hmm. It was having just a lovely summer time. We were doing everything we could to raise money to keep it open. And Jim came home and he said, James, What's the problem with the library downtown? And I said, money, nothing. That money wouldn't you. And he says, well, you know, I feel that I owe that library. That library is a thing that got me started. He said, by the time I had finished the library, I had read 75% of all said that in the 90s.
But I thought, what a...
What a cop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His son inherited this land down here. Mm-hmm. Jim didn't want it, his father didn't want it. He's going to go to Hawaii a few times. And on his land over there, mm-hmm. and be by that big telescope. And so Andrew, this grandson, thought that he might renovate the old house and make a little money doing mm-hmm. things. And he got figures on it. It was just astronomical. It was just a good thing. So he said that he was just going to burn it down. But everybody took everything. They sold off of it, all the doors, all the windows, just everything. They just literally took the house to pieces by people buying things that they wanted. But this mountain was settled by a contingency of Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Who came at the behest. Well, actually, they were trying to settle this valley for the railroad. And the railroad got the Lutheran pastors and the Catholic priests to get people. But it was a Lutheran pastor.
The land grant program. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with
yes.
that? Yes. With the railroads, you know, the railroads were given in
this is a
checkerboard.
Missouri Pacific is a land grant railroad.
So every other square mile belonged to the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to sell the land, but they also wanted to develop the land to give them
custom.
And the last 20 acres we have down here is part of that. Was part of the railroad.
Oh, okay.
I mean, was part of the railroad thing. Mm-hmm. And we were really interested. We were doing some work on the titles or something. And on that 20 acres, we don't own the mineral rights because the railroad still owns the mineral rights.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was interesting.
That's
so cool.
I thought of one more thing I wanted to ask you. The Pioneer Cabin that's at the edge of the park now.
Yeah.
Where was that originally before they moved it? Do you remember?
It was on the area just about where the lake is.
Okay.
It would be covered now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they moved it.
It was in pretty good shape, at least the log. And that's one of the last things I did was...
Did you mark those logs and move them?
I marked them. I didn't move them.
Oh.
I marked the logs and made...
Sketches
of the sides and ends and so on with it, and numbered the log and marked them so they could go back in the same place.
In the same place.
By the way, that cabin was standing in 1854 when some people who still live right on the airport road, when their family came to Page, and they found this cabin on the beach and lived in it for years.
Okay.
The West Bank.
I found something. Oh, it was in the reports that I got at the National Archives that your father did. He talks about the Pioneer Cabin and said that, I believe he says it was, they thought it was built around 1830.
Could have been. Because when the West family came to the mountain and lived at that cabin, it was already built.
Mm-hmm. Why did they decide to save that? Do you know?
What?
Why did they decide to save that? Was there any particular reason? Or?
Oh, it was... That, I guess, was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He just was interested in those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And here is a more or less typical structure in good physical condition that could be moved relatively cheaply, and it might be a point of interest in the park sometime.
And And it would have been destroyed.
Right.
Were a lot of houses destroyed when the lake was...
Not finished.
Okay.
The lake is...
But you cannot imagine how heavily populated Eugene has been.
That's surprising.
Mr. Westphal, when he lived had little one-room shacks, actually, built all over. Well, the Westphals at one time, let's put it this way, Mr. Westphal married a Jones, and Mr. Jones was one of the first of the German contingents. They owned 3,000 acres. And they would rent out their land, and they had these little houses. For instance,
he had, I think, what, 7 sharecroppers?
Something like that. Raising cotton up here, can you imagine?
On a
cotton on corn on these rocks?
Wow. I can't imagine they were too successful.
Well, they were, of course.
They raised a lot of cotton. I've forgotten it. I've heard it. I don't remember exactly the name. But it was the cotton. They raised up here in 1 year.
Of course, their land in the center of the mountain, or even away from the ground, so we just can see the rock. It's hard. Get another month, but it gets real dry, we won't have a blade of grass.
Well, I guess that's about it. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions and share your memories with me.
Hope we have helped you.
Yes.
Now, what are you going to do with this material?
I am, well, actually...